ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 31 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड नारद इंस्ट्रक्ट्स द प्रचेतास टेक्स्ट नंबर 17 यथा नभस व्रतमा प्रकाशा भवन्ति भूपान भवन्तनुक्रमा एवं परे ब्रह्मनि शक्तयस्त्वमु रजस्तमासत्वमिति प्रवाह My dear kings, sometimes in the sky there are clouds, sometimes there is darkness and sometimes there is illumination. The appearance of all these take place consecutively. Similarly, in the Supreme Absolute, the modes of passion, darkness and goodness appear as consecutive energies. Sometimes they appear and sometimes they disappear. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Darkness, illumination and clouds sometimes appear and sometimes disappear. But even when they have disappeared, the potency is still there, always existing. In the sky, sometimes we see clouds, sometimes rainfall and sometimes snow. Sometimes we see night, sometimes day, sometimes illumination and sometimes darkness. All this exists due to the sun. But the sun is unaffected by all these changes. Similarly, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of the total cosmic manifestation, He is unaffected by the material existence. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kammano buddhirevacha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakriti rashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. All together these eight comprise my separated material energies. Bhagavad Gita 7.4. Although the material or physical elements are the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are separate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is therefore not affected by material conditions. The Vedanta Sutra confirms Janmadyasya Etha that the creation, maintenance and dissolution of this cosmic manifestation are due to the existence of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, the Lord is unaffected by all these changes in the material elements. This is indicated by the word pravaha, emanation. The sun always shines brilliantly and is not affected by clouds or darkness. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always present in His spiritual energy and is not affected by the material emanations. Brahma Samhita confirms, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin and He is the prime cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 5.1. Although He is the supreme cause, the cause of all causes, He is still Parama, transcendental. And His form is Satchidananda, eternal spiritual bliss. Krishna is the shelter of everything and this is the verdict of all scripture. Krishna is the remote cause and the material nature is the immediate cause of the cosmic manifestation. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that understanding Prakriti or nature to be the cause of everything is like understanding the nipples on the neck of a goat to be the cause of milk. Material nature is the immediate cause of the cosmic manifestation, but the original cause is Narayana, Krishna. Sometimes people think that the cause of an earthen pot is the earth, but we see on a potter's wheel a sufficient amount of earth to produce many pots. And although unintelligent men will say that the earth on the wheel is the cause of the pot, those who are actually advanced will find that the original cause is the potter who supplies the earth and moves the wheel. Material nature may be helping factor in the creation of this cosmic manifestation, but it is not the ultimate cause. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord therefore says, Maya dakshena prakriti suyatesa characharam. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and producing all moving and non-moving beings. Bhagavad Gita 9.10. The Supreme Lord casts his glance over material energy, and his glance agitates the three modes of nature. Creation then takes place. The conclusion is that nature is not the cause of material manifestation. The Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve. Hare Krishna. In the year 1905, in the busy streets of London, one horse carriage taxi was going, and seated across a young, intelligent looking man was an old gentleman who was chanting on his rosary beads. So this young man became curious, and he asked this old man that, "My dear sir, what are you doing?" So this old man said, "I am chanting the names of God." So this young man was amused. He said, "You believe in God? Don't you know science and technology has advanced so much? And today we have clear proof that there is no God. Everything is happening by chance. Darwin has given the theory." And then he went on preaching to this elderly man, and finally he said, "My dear sir, you don't know many things. I can send you by post. I am a science student. I have a lot of articles with me. So please give me your visiting card. I will send you by post." So this elderly man gave his visiting card, and when this young man saw that, he was shocked. His lower jaw dropped, and he was staring at him incredulously. "Who is this?" And the card, the name was Dr. Louis Pasteur, one of the greatest medical scientists in history. So he was a man who believed in God and who chanted names of God and accepted God as the supreme creator and source of everything. That's exactly what Srila Prabhupada is also writing in today's purport by explaining that yes, nature is the cause, but is the immediate cause. There is a remote cause also, and that is Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, "Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pradapita. I am the seed-giving father." And also, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says, "Mattaha Paratram Nanyat Kinchidasti Dananjaya Mai Sarvam Idam Protam Sutre Mani Ganaiva." That, my dear Arjuna, there is nothing superior to me. You should know this. I am the source of everything, just like Mai Sarvam Idam Protam Sutre Mani Ganaiva. Just like we have a necklace, pearls, but they are strung together by a thread. Similarly, I am the most active principle which is maintaining and creating the whole universe. Just like we see that the pearls are bound by a thread, or when we see a nice vegetation, we see that there has to be soil without which this vegetation is not possible. Or when we see a fast car going at high speed, we know that there is a good engine. So similar, when we see such examples, we can know that there is something which is pulling, which is pushing all these factors. Similarly, when we see this whole creation, which is so stupendous, which are such excellent order, design, well maintained, organized, we should know that there is an activating principle, God, intelligence, which is making everything going on. So nature is the cause, but Krishna is the ultimate cause and is the source of everything. A child, he might see the light and he might think that the bulb is the source of this light, and he is not wrong. The child is right in saying that bulb is the cause of light. But an intelligent person knows that behind this bulb there is electric powerhouse, and finally there is a man who is operating this. Similarly, a person with little poor fund of knowledge, as Prabhupada would say, he would believe that nature is causing everything. And as Prabhupada gives a very beautiful example here, just like sometimes we have a potter, he is making earthen pot and people think that earth is causing everything. But actually it is a man who is maneuvering it, he is making it. Similarly, nature is causing, but Prabhupada would say, nature means, logical question should be, whose nature? That means somebody's nature has to be there, that is Krishna's nature. In Sanskrit, we call nature as Prakriti. Prakriti means actually controlled. So, controlled naturally means there has to be controller. Like if you say, he is a slave. Slave means naturally, what it implies is he has a master. Or if you say widow, widow means she had a husband. Similarly, when we say controlled or Prakriti, there has to be controller or Purusha, who is Krishna. And thus we can see with common sense and intelligence that everything has a creator. Like if you see a painting of a nice rose, we know that this painting does not come by chance. We can easily understand that there has to be a painter who makes this nice rose. Or sometimes we see more advanced than that painting would be a rose made of paper. And when we see that paper rose, which colors they make, we immediately ask, who made this? It is so beautiful, it looks so real. And although this paper rose, which we make out of paper, doesn't have fragrance. It might just look like a rose, but still we feel somebody might have made it. And then when we actually see a real rose, which has its dimension, which has fragrance, and immediately we say, oh, it has come by chance. For a painting, for everything, there has to be a painter, there has to be a creator. But when it comes to the real thing, no, there is no creator, there is no God. This is not intelligence. This is being very narrow-minded. Once His Holiness Jayadeva Swami Maharaj was asked here, Maharaj, how can you say God exists? Nobody has seen God. So immediately Maharaj smashed him. Maharaj said, how can you say nobody has seen God? Have you asked everybody in this world? How do you know? So the point is, God exists, who is creating everything and is behind all this. But the point is, do we really want to know Him? And whom are we asking about God? We are asking the scientists about God. It is like going to this Panwala here. We have Shambhunath Panwala here. You're going and asking him about the details of flights to Delhi, Calcutta and Jaipur. And he might say there are no flights. So we can't, can we believe him? The point is, who is the authority whom we are asking? So we can't say, scientists say, media says, newspapers say there is no God. No, that is not logical. So first we should have a proper authority whom we ask. Who is the cause of everything? Who is the source of everything? And once we also approach the right authority, we should have a desire to know about God. It's not simply enough to just ask for the heck of it. Like one man was asking in the railway inquiry office, what time does Rajdhani leave? The officer said 4:30. What time does Golden Temple leave? He said 9:30. What time does Firozpur Janata leave? He said 5:30. But which train you want to go? He said, I just want to cross the railway tracks. I don't want to travel anywhere. So simply by asking questions, it's not sufficient. We should have a desire to know about God. And also, simply approaching the right authority and simply desiring is not sufficient. Like we might go to an airport office, a travel agent, we might inquire about all the flights, and we might also have a desire to go to that destination. But the third and most important thing is, We should be willing to pay a price for going there. Without paying a price, you can't go. You can't inquire about all the flights and you can't say, I don't have any money, but I need a ticket. No, you have to pay a price. Similarly, to know about God, besides approaching the right authority and having a desire, we should pay the price of faith and we should pay the price of accepting this process of chanting Hare Krishna. This way, we can know about God. The problem is, we use our finite intelligence and what does not appeal to our intelligence, we reject. We say, okay, God does not exist. Therefore, when this first spaceman who went into the space, Yuri Gagarin, he came down and said that, I did not see any God in space, so there is no God. That was his conclusion. Because he could not see God there, he said, there is no God. So one priest said, if you never saw God here, how can you see Him there? You are always an atheist. So simply, by our own understanding, we cannot declare, we cannot comment that there is no God. And the same scientists, they deny God, but when their Apollo spacecraft was finding trouble in the space, the scientists were telling everybody, please pray to God, all of us, please, let us all pray that the scientists return back safely. So deep within, people know that there is God, but they will, but it becomes fashionable nowadays. It's not that people refuse to accept there is a cause of everything or there is a source. It is simply because it's fashion nowadays to call yourself an atheist. I remember once I was distributing books and one boy kept saying, there is no God, this is all nonsense. And finally, because he was adamant on his argument, he said, thank God, I am an atheist. But he said, thank God, in that process. The point is, it is natural to talk about God. Radha Gopinath Prabhu had one friend and this friend was a warped atheist, never believed in God. And Radha Gopinath Prabhu went to his shop, he was inaugurating one software business or something. So he went for the opening ceremony and he saw that this friend of his was having Satyanarayan puja and they were breaking coconuts. So Radha Gopinath Prabhu asked him, Are, what happened? You have changed your philosophy or what? He said, no, I am still an atheist. So then Radha Gopinath Prabhu asked him, then why are you doing all this puja? He said, you know, I don't want to take chances. What if he is there? Let us make him also happy. So deep within, the heart is urging to accept God, to love God. But thanks to this bombardment by the media everywhere, we start thinking that it's fashionable to accept that there is no creator. And also we see that the so-called science students from different engineering colleges and medical schools, it's not that they have all the scientific evidence and things like that. It is just that they also accept on the basis of faith only. They have faith in their margins, their leaders who are giving theories. It is not that they actually go and experiment. Like one of the greatest nuclear physicists is Stephen Hawking. He is well known. And he gave a theory, it's a phenomenon, it's not proved anywhere, that there is something called as black hole in the universe. Just like we all take birth and die, he says, stars also die. And all these collapsing stars, they go into this black hole, which is highly dense, very, very dense, it has very high mass. And when something is so dense, it has this power to attract, that is gravitational pull. So he says, all these objects, they are pulled towards that, and they disappear into that black hole. And then, from that, a parallel universe is created. Very fantastic theory it sounds. And then just last month it came in the newspapers that this theory, which he had been propagating for last 3 decades, one fine morning he said, actually I have changed my theory. So they don't collapse inside, they actually release out also immediately the universe, the things. Completely he changed the philosophy. So many 30 years of so much research, so much documentation, so much money spent. Nobody questions it. And when they come out with such theories, people find it very interesting. Nobody says it's mythology. And when we talk there are heavenly planets, there could be life on, there is life on moon and other planets. They say this is all imaginary, this is mythology. But there is scientific mythology also present, where big theories are given, and people accept it, simply on the basis of faith. Therefore, the Shastras say that beyond all this matter that we are perceiving, as Prabhupada is saying here, there is a person, there is this energy, consciousness. It's not simply matter everywhere. Avinashitu tadviddi ena sarvam idam tatam vinasham avyayasyasya na kaschit kartum arhati. What is the second line? Vinasham avyayasyasya na kaschit kartum arhati. Yeah. So there is avinashitu tadviddi. That soul is imperishable. That spirit, that substance is there. If you see the body, if we say it's all chemicals only, then this body is nothing but chemicals. If you see 20 rupees, it was costing according to scientists earlier. This body, if you just collect all the chemicals, just 20 rupees. And now they say it's cost around 115 rupees. And the body actually contains different kinds of chemicals. Like if a person weighs 60 pounds, then it is said that in his body, there is 5 pounds of calcium, 1.5 pounds of phosphorus, 9 ounces of sodium, 6 ounces of sulfur, 1 ounce of magnesium, iron, copper, iodine. Now, scientists are giving these kind of articles. Now, we should ask ourselves that, is this the essential stuff that we are made of? Are we simply a bag of chemicals? Intuitively, we can understand. If we think for a moment, we can understand that life is actually very deep. It is meaningful. There is purpose. It's not, we can't explain concepts like perception. We have perceptions, we have feelings, we have awareness, experience of satisfaction. All these things, can it be simply explained that it's all happening by chance? There is no creator, there is no life. Like if a scientist has a pain in his hand, why does he scream? He should say, my C fibers are shooting. We should give some chemical name to it. What is the experience? If a computer says, I love you, even 1,000 times, even a fool will not consider worth reciprocating. Because it has no life. It has no consciousness. Therefore, these things cannot be explained by modern science. It falls short. Therefore, in fact, Charles Darwin himself, when he wrote his book, he said, life must have been originally breathed by the Creator. That is his statement. He also accepted that actually there is God. But today, the neo-Darwinists, they are more enthusiastic than Darwin also, to prove that God does not exist. So today's theories are all based on one book written by one man called Richard Dawkins. He wrote a book called Selfish Gene. And he writes in the beginning of that book that, my dear readers, this book should be read as science fiction. But still it is accepted as not only a theory, it is accepted as a fact. So this is the result of propaganda, advertisement. And he also says all this chance theory, because if there is no creator, if there is no God, then everything has happened how? By chance. So he says that in this book he explains, he systematically explains this theory, that in the initial time there was some simple compounds, like there was a manganese, there was all those different simple compounds, they were existing in this space, and then there was suddenly some huge energy was released, like sunlight or volcano or something came, and these simple compounds, they broke and they formed amino acids. And then, these amino acids were in the atmosphere, then they slowly they came to the sea, and they were in the sea. And in the sea, they formed some protein-like substances. And then there was a nice organic soup, collection of all these proteins. And then, suddenly, by accident, one molecule was created, which had life. Now this sounds very scientific, there are nice words used, nice jargons used. So one devotee who had a science background, he explained to me that this is actually all bombastic. In simple language, if you see, it sounds very foolish. Like, though they give this chance theory, and Richard Dawkins knows that this is not possible, so he writes, this is actually not possible, but somehow this has happened. There is so much envy and that determination to deny God, he says, no, somehow it has happened. So when we ask them simple questions, okay, everything has happened by chance. All these things came together. So let us ask a basic question. When these reactions are taking place, was there oxygen in the atmosphere? So suddenly they are confused, scientists. Because if they say oxygen was there, then there is a problem. Because if oxygen is there, then all these simple compounds, they will not form amino acids. They will immediately react to that oxygen only and form different oxides. But then they say, no, oxygen was not there. But if oxygen is not there, then these amino acids, they will be decomposed by all the cosmic rays. So then they are confused, they don't know what to say. And even if we assume it away, okay, we say, okay, oxygen, forget the oxygen issue. Where did this energy come from? Was there energy? They say, yes, energy was there. Because of energy, all these things broke up. But that also fails. Because if that energy will also break up all the amino acids that are formed. So according to scientists themselves, they are not sure if energy was there. And then they have another problem. They say that all these amino acids were in the atmosphere. And slowly they went into the water. And in the water they formed protein molecules. Now the question is, how did they enter the water? Because they know, if it is in the atmosphere, the cosmic rays will finish it off. So they have to go to the water. But the problem is, if you see a water body, you keep anything in water, it actually decomposes. In the sense, it breaks up, the molecules break up. Like if you keep a sugar candy in a glass of water, what happens? It breaks up. Similarly, all these amino acids are in the water, sea, ocean. Instead of forming proteins, they should actually be decomposed. They cannot form life. For there also they are not sure what to do, how to explain this. So they avoid all these questions. And the most classic argument against which they have no answer is, okay, life has come by all these chemicals, but which came first? DNA came first or protein came first? Because for proteins to exist, DNA has to be there. But DNA cannot occur without proteins. Like we say, no, which came first, egg or chicken? Which came first? We can't explain. So this Francis Hitching, who explains this theory, says actually what happened, this both DNA and protein, they came simultaneously. Like egg and chicken, they came simultaneously. So right at the beginning stage, the theory falls apart. So how can we say? And then they have probability theory. They have studied. What is the probability that life has come by this chance? Because these amino acids also, there are hundreds of types of amino acids. Out of which actually 20 are needed for that first molecule to be formed. And these 20, there are two types of amino acids generally. It's not difficult to understand. One is left-handed type, the second is right-handed type. Just like we say, human beings are of two types, male and female. Similarly, amino acids are left-handed and right-handed. And for this to occur, life to occur, all these 20 amino acids should come together and all of them should be left-handed and they should all be arranged in a particular order only. There is so much of fine precision that has to take place and that all has happened by chance. It is like saying, like let us say we have a lottery and we take names, we write your name. Say from A, Ashok. From Bombay, then second sheet we write name, like some other name with some other state. And then we put all these names, hundreds of names we put, papers. So now we have to find out what is the probability that if a dead man is lying next to this pile of papers, he takes a scoop. Some of the dead man comes to life, he takes a scoop of all the papers and he gets exactly 20 papers, 20 names. And when he opens, all the 20 are male names only. Because so many names are there. But when that scoop, only male name should come. And all of them should be in order. The first name you collect, you take out should be of a person whose name starts with A. Second name with B. Third with C. So what is the probability that a dead man will pick up like this some papers. And exactly we'll get only 20 names. That too of all males. And that too, in that perfect order. What is the probability? It seems ridiculous. If somebody is given an exam, we ask him, what is the probability that he will pass? He says 50%. That means we know that he might fail. Imagine somebody says, my probability of passing is actually 0.1%. What is the conclusion? He is definitely going to fail. So when the scientists are asked, you say there is no God, there is no creator, everything has come by chance. So what is the probability that everything has come by chance? For this, the probability is 0.00000113 times 0 and 1. So, how can we accept that theory? That is 1 in 10 raised to the power 113. And they also admit that we are not including the enzymes. There are certain enzymes which are needed to fasten the reactions. If we include that, the probability comes 0.00, we have to take 0.40,000 times. So that is the probability that life has come without God, without Creator. And actually, if we scientifically understand this number which they say, 10 raised to the power 113, this number, believe it or not, is greater than all the atoms containing in this universe. That is the number we are talking about. And that is the probability that this universe has come. And according to mathematical field of knowledge, according to the discipline, you should not accept any theory which has a probability greater than 10 raised to the power 50. If the probability is greater than 10 raised to the power 50, then you are not supposed to accept that theory. So by their own statements, we should not accept that theory. But still they say, no, this is only how it has happened. So complete denial. That's why one famous biologist, Edwin Conklin, he said, the probability that life has come by chance, all these chemicals mixing, is exactly like the probability of a printing press coming out of, a dictionary coming out of an explosion in a printing press. There's a major explosion. What is the probability? But that is exactly how ridiculous the theory sounds. And in fact, Lord Kelvin, who is considered as one of the greatest physicists, he made a very beautiful statement. He said, if you consider all these facts and figures, we will be forced by science to accept God. He made this statement. And he's a scientist himself. And actually, we are only talking about one simple cell wall. And the cell wall, scientists are finding it so complicated. You can imagine, if they actually study the cell, how complicated it is. It's supposed to be more complicated than the most complicated city which we have. And that they are not able to figure out, a cell wall. Like if you have a big mansion, the boundary of the mansion, the wall, gate, it is supposed to be the least complicated. For in the human body, one cell, which is a cell wall, that is so precise. So therefore, there is some intelligence. There has to be some higher power. And Darwin himself writes in that book, exact word I copied down from the Shambhu's book. Darwin says, it is absurd to the highest degree to believe that all these things have happened by chance. He himself confesses. One of Nobel laureate in chemistry, Albert Gheorghe, whole life he researched on how life has come by chemicals. He studied all the chemicals. And then in the old age, when he was about to die, he made a landmark statement. He said, whole life I was simply wasting my time on atoms, electrons, protons, which have no life. And I realized that my life has slipped through my fingers. And now I am retracing my steps to understand there is some creator. So this is the way when material nature humbles a person, then he comes to his senses. Might as well accept it. Accept the fact that there is God. And it's not simply by chemicals that things are happening. One time Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and during morning walks, Prabhupada would have a lot of challenging question answers in Los Angeles, in San Francisco. So on one particular morning walk, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was acting as a scientist. He challenged, life comes from chemicals, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, okay. He saw one dead tree there. He said, okay, you have all the chemicals. You know all the chemicals. You put all those chemicals in the dead tree and bring it back to life. Then he could not say anything. It's not possible. Nobody can do that. If life is coming from chemicals, put it on a dead tree. Like they say, we have invented the periodic table. We have created so many chemicals. Fine. Take all those chemicals, put it in a dead man, bring him back to life. That nobody can do. So then Prabhupada pointed to a lemon tree He said, this tree is alive and this tree is producing lemon, and this lemon has citric acid, and tons of citric acid is produced. So life, because this tree has life, life is producing chemicals. This is the argument that Prabhupada gave. So very convincingly Prabhupada established. So therefore we see that there is something higher than simply matter, and that is consciousness, and there is also a supreme creator. And anybody who believes that Darwin's theory is right or things have come by Big Bang, we should ask him a simple question. What is the proof? The people are so expert, the scientists, they put the burden of proof on us. You prove that God exists. No, we want to ask you a question. Yes, simple. Like, how many of us actually have proof that Darwin's theory is right? We all studied it in school. In school, did we ever ask the teacher for proof? No, we were scared that we might fail in the exam. We never bothered. We just copied on everything, wrote it in the exam. We passed. And slowly but surely, that information which was bombarded in our consciousness in school, that became the foundation. So now when we are grown up, our intellectual faculties are maturing. Instead of questioning that foundation, we are accepting it and questioning anything else that comes. So we should retrace our steps. We should go back and challenge our own fundamentals that we have acquired in school. And then we will realize that these theories fall apart. What do we call? If a person is not very intelligent and you are bombarding him with information, what is it called? And you are convincing him. That is called as brainwashing. That's exactly what the scientists are doing, brainwashing. Therefore, we have to be intelligent and understand that no, things cannot come by chance. What is the proof? Like Darwin's, what happened to Darwin was, he actually saw that one man, he saw men, you know, putting their hand, finger in their ears. He saw man sometimes with a stick. So they concluded, oh, apes are also like that only. So man has come from apes. You know, that is the logic. Just like if you have a toothache tomorrow and your jaws bulge, then it is like saying, see, he's turning into an ape now. Can you say something like that? It's not logical. Like if we give lectures, we carry that mouse. That mic and that sound system, that black color. It is like saying that this mouse will, after million years, this mouse will turn into an elephant. Because why? Because both are black in color. That's how absurd the logic and this theory is. If we study it deeply, we'll realize. It's basically what? Basically, it's simply word jugglery. Like they use, I remember when I was in school, I was very impressed by this term, test tube baby. So I thought, what this means is basically this sperm and all is mixed in the test tube and the baby pops out of the test tube. Like, you know, you put masala chaans and the samosa pops out. Something like that. But then I realized basically in the test tube there is only emulsification that takes place, and actually the child is born within the live womb. So it's a womb baby, not a test tube baby. But scientists are expert in giving nice names. Like they give test tube baby, then they give, for abortion they say tissue removal. It sounds so cultured. So tomorrow they might start killing old people and they might say old tissue removal. So you can give names. So it doesn't cost anything. And it sounds very impressive. Prabhupada also knew this scientist's cheating mentality of cheating with nice words. So in 1977, when Prabhupada was in Bombay, Pandal, May, he told Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj to make a scientific presentation, PowerPoint presentation, slideshow. So Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj made a very powerful scientific presentation with all technical jargons. And the end of it, Prabhupada was very happy. And Prabhupada asked all his disciples, how was the presentation? The disciples said, Prabhupada, great. But some of them said, Prabhupada, but I don't think people understood anything. Prabhupada said, anyway, what the scientists say also people don't understand. So what we are saying, if they don't understand, no problem. At least they will be impressed that we have some substance. So Prabhupada knew this mentality of the scientists. So Prabhupada would tell this story of, there is one Bengali song. In that song, some man had written in the 20th century only, depicting how we are so enamored by this, that time European culture was considered to be great, you know, British sahabs. So these Indians, they would buy anything if it had the name of British or Europeans. So that song was saying about a man who was selling meat, dog meat. Now meat is obnoxious and dog meat is most obnoxious. But people were buying dog meat from him because he was telling them, you know, this dog meat is not ordinary dog meat. This dog was actually killed by a viceroy, British viceroy. And then people bought it. Oh, this is great. So Prabhupada said, this is exactly what the modern day people are. Oh, these scientists are saying this? Oh, it has to be true. So we accept that theory. So, actually what is happening is, see, we are not denying. Scientists are giving us fan, light, micro, you know, this sound system, we have computers, refrigeration. They are giving a lot of things, no doubt. But this is basically technology. There is a difference between technology and science. What we are seeing is manipulation of matter. To know how a thing is working is not the same as to explain why it is working, who caused it. That is a different field. Like mobile phones. There is nothing to be proud of mobiles. The scientists have not created the electromagnetic waves. They have simply tapped it. Like if a farmer, he puts a seed and a mango tree comes out. He doesn't know exactly what is happening. So can we give a Nobel Prize to a farmer? No, similarly, we can't simply glorify because we have manipulated matter in the nature. We should understand there is a cause. There is somebody supplying all this. So the question arises, why this kind of theories are proliferating? This is happening because of a deep-rooted desire to enjoy. It's not that scientists all came together and they made a strategy. Yes, now we will declare that there is no God. No, it's not like that. Collectively, people are thinking. They're envious. They're atheistic. And any faint theories they get, which decries God's existence, they immediately feast on it. They accept it. Because that serves their purpose. And very conveniently, they avoid accepting those evidences which establish God's supremacy. So therefore, we see that scientists, they have provided us wonderful things, but they have not given answers to the most basic questions. Why there is birth, death, old age, disease? Why this can't be stopped? They have given us luxuries, but at the cost of necessities. We have automobiles, we have excellent things, but no air to breathe. So what do we want? We want all these hi-fi, technical things, or do we want necessities? So the nature of the soul, nature of a person is actually to be dependent on God, to serve and love God. But by denying God, it's not that he becomes independent. He simply becomes dependent on the modern electronic gadgets. Like today, man is proud to be independent. But in America last year, when they had a blackout and the electricity was not there, same people, they were frustrated. They could not imagine what will happen. They went crazy because there was no electricity for 12 hours. They were worried because they couldn't watch their favorite TV show. In the Vedic age, a man would be dependent on God and would be God-fearing. But now, man is not dependent on God, but is dependent on television. He is dependent on these things. For that propensity is there to be dependent, to love. Therefore, we have to nurture these qualities. So these modern day theorists, they are like those, it's like a child who's taking all the money from the father and then getting the gundas to beat up his own father. So this is their approach. By denying God, this is what they are doing. So they have more and more specialists. They try to find out more and more. But today it is said that a specialist is something who knows more and more of less and less. And a super specialist is he who knows everything of nothing. For the scriptures tell us that if we know a certain thing, it is not complete knowledge unless we know the purpose of that thing. Why does that thing exist? The purpose should be known. Like you have a glass. It is not sufficient to know what that glass is. We should know what is the purpose of that glass. Like a finger. Somebody might do a PhD on finger. But if he is not understanding its connection with the hand, that knowledge is useless. Therefore, scriptures say, Yasmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati. We know the Supreme Lord, then we know everything related to him. Therefore, in Ishopanishad purport, Prabhupada says, to not know is one thing, but to not know that one is in ignorance, that is real ignorance. So this is the condition of the modern day scientists. And devotees, they are a one step higher. They not only accept that there is God as here we are seeing, that there is a, he is a supreme cause of everything. Not only they are fixed in that knowledge, they also are practicing a process by which they can love God and they can revive their dormant consciousness. And when we hear and talk about Krishna, that gives ultimate satisfaction for the soul. Rupa Goswami writes, Aho, aho, bir nakaler vidhuyate, sudha, sudhara, maduram, pade, pade, dine, dine, chandana, chandra, sheetalam, yasho, yashoda, tanayas, chagiyate. He says, this Kali Yuga, so many problems. We are all burning in the heat of this material existence. We are suffering. And we have enough problems created by nature, and scientists are also adding more to it. So in this kind of suffering, what do we need? Aho, aho, bir nakaler vidhuyate. A person is burning, he needs cool nectarine shower. Sudha, sudhara, maduram, pade, pade. That dhara, that stream of water has to be nectarine and cooling. And it is maduram, it is very, very sweet. And this sweetness, this nectar, which is going to quench our burning, is relished not once in a while, it is relished maduram pade pade. Every moment we are relishing it. And not only are we relishing it, it is supposed to be dine dine chandana chandra sheetalam. It is like chandan. Chandan is supposed to be very cooling, sandalwood. And chandra, moon, is also supposed to be very cooling because they provide sheetal. So Rupa Goswami writes in Padyavali, dine 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 chandana chandra sheetalam. And what is that sheetal agent? What is that cooling agent? Yasho yashoda tanayas chagiyate. When we glorify the activities of Yashoda Tanas, the son of Yashoda Krishna, all the hankerings and lamentations that are plaguing the heart, they are quenched. And a person experiences a fresh, cooling, nectarine life. Therefore, we should take shelter of Krishna Katha and Krishna. And in that way, we can make our lives perfect. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
If for example, I've got like a bunch of seeds in my hand, and I throw them into some soil, and they become plants. When they're in my hand, they're just chemicals. So at what point does the seed become a jivatma?
What point of time does the seed become jivatma?
Because when it's in my hand, it's just chemicals, right? And then when I throw it into the soil, when does...
So there is this life-creating principle in the soil, which helps the seed grow into a, fructify into a tree.
But the seed is not a life form when it's in my hand, is it?
I don't know when the soul enters that seed. I don't know if somebody else... I know, if I have understood your question correctly, at what point of time does that seed, the soul enter that seed? Is it when it is in your hand, or is it when it enters the soil and when it starts fructifying? I don't know. Anybody knows? You know? It's already there. Nitya sarvagata sthanur achaloyam sanatana. That is the point. The soul is everywhere, all pervading. Is that the explanation?
Krishna explains, sir. From rain, everything comes and enters the semen. So it is there already. So when the environment comes, it fructifies.
He is saying the soul is there in the seed.
It's already there. And the environment is favorable. It fructifies.
Would you like to add? Yes, Eklavya.
Hare Krishna, thank you for wonderful class, Prabhu. In your conclusion of your class, you mentioned that the cool nectarine shower that quenches the burning fire, that every moment we should relish these activities of Krishna. So in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is a cause of material existence, yet he's unaffected by the material existence. So my question is that in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna and Sudama, they were gathering firewood for their guru, Sandipani Muni. And then it started to rain, and they were freezing cold and huddled throughout the night together. So it seems in this case that Krishna, he was affected by the material existence. Can you please explain?
You already know it. Krishna was performing pastimes when he came to this material world. And this is in fact one of the problems. Many people, they say, well, Krishna acted like an ordinary human being. Krishna had so many wives. He was behaving like a young coward boy. So Krishna, although he is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the creator of everything. But yet, he comes to this material world and performs pastimes like an ordinary child. To attract the hearts of his pure devotees also, and also the conditioned souls, so that they can revive their dormant Krishna consciousness. And if we don't understand it, and we are bewildered, that's not Krishna's problem, that's our problem. If you are watching a cricket match on television, and suddenly the TV conks off, there is nothing wrong with the cricket match that is going on there. There is something wrong with our antenna. Similarly, if Krishna's pastimes, we can't understand. Krishna will continue to perform his Rasdila and pastimes and do so many activities. If we can't understand, something wrong with our antenna has to be changed. Our consciousness has to be changed. Therefore, Bhagavatam explains, Hittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradevatena maya shritanam naradarakena sakham vijaru kritapunya punja. So some people, they look at Krishna differently. Some people say he is simply Brahman. Ittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya. Some people say, oh, dasyam gatanam paradevatena, he is some ordinary demigod. And some people say, maya shritanam naradarakena, he is an ordinary human being. Maya shritanam, he is influenced by maya. But the actual devotees, what are they thinking? Sakham vijaru krita punya punja. That Krishna is our dear cowherd boyfriend. And these cowherd boys, they have done heaps and heaps of pious activities. So pure devotees also in one sense are like atheists. They don't accept Krishna as God. But they don't accept Krishna as God out of pure love. Therefore that is spiritual. So we have to aspire for pure devotional service. I'm sorry. Is it okay? Thank you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.